Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining the UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Roddy DeBolsey. I'm joined by Dane Young, Jake Roos, and Hall of Fame coach Jim Dunnan. Jim's at his house. Jake and I are here at Classic City Eats, along with our man Dave McMahon over there, who's ordering everything on the menu. We're in the cleanest restaurant in town. The place is absolutely immaculate, simply because they come in every day and use their fogger to disinfect it from roof to floor. So get the best fried chicken anywhere in the world. And, of course, we've got a big plate of the
– we're noshing on the fried okra
here.
You can't get fried okra like this anywhere else in town, man.
Well, I'd like to find out. It sure would be good to find out if it tastes good. But it's just fantastic here. It's great fried okra, great food all over here at Classic City Eat. So when you get a chance, swing by. And of course, Dane's at his house. Or actually, we're not even going to call it his house. We're going to call it his UGA Sports headquarters. He's got the great background there. So
is that where our office is? They won't give me the address.
You live in your van. We're not going to let you come near the offices. You scare off our secretary. You won't appreciate that. Anyway, big shout out to all of our sponsors: Athens Ford, Academia Brewing Company, EuroPie, 365 Game Day, 11 Live. Everybody who's been a big sponsor of our show, and of course, Aaron over at Doors. We'll talk about all of them later in the show. I know you guys appreciate when we do the commercials, but without them, without those commercials, we don't have a show. So, big shout out to all of our sponsors. Football players are on campus. There are a lot of recruiting things going down. I know. Got some kids that are getting close to making decisions. Some have made decisions. We got a lot of questions to get to. So I think we should just kind of jump right into a couple of recruiting updates, get your thoughts, and then get Coach Donnan's thoughts. And Dane and I will just kind of hang out. I'll eat the fried okra while you talk recruiting.
You can have what's left of my crumbs. All right, yeah, a lot's been going on as far as guys kind of whittling down lists, moving commitment dates around, that kind of thing. Obviously, I guess we'll start with the big story, which is probably Tony Grimes, the five-star, moving his commitment date up to the end of this month.
It was supposed to be December 1st, right?
Yeah, it was. He was shooting for December, and but
June 30th.
They kind of kind of retooled things. And it really wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was what, 2 weeks? I guess it's been since he set that December 1st date. So, did not take long for him to change his mind on that. Really not sure what went into that decision so much, but a lot of people really believe this is a battle between UGA and UNC right now. Mm-hmm. Those look like the presumptive favorites. Texas A&M with a little bit of an outside shot there. I think Penn State's still in the mix, but it looks like it's going to come down to the Bulldogs and the Tar Heels. And the vibe is not great for Georgia, okay. I will say. My take on it is that regardless of what happens, you're going to see Georgia continue to press for this kid. They've got a great relationship with him. And I think that had things gone to original plan, Georgia would probably still be the presumptive favorite. I just think that accelerating the timeline benefits North Carolina more than it does Georgia. I said that the other day when it went down. That's just my gut feeling on it.
That brings up a good question because, Coach, I'd like you to address this. It seems that when Georgia was on a tear when I was on vacation, seems that the recruits always seem to come when I go out of town, the commitments come down. We saw Georgia make hay with in-state guys, guys who are nearby, guys who had been to Georgia multiple times. You start getting all those big commits and everyone's like, yeah, well, that proximity is working for them because they're right here. Now, all of a sudden, it seems like maybe that proximity is working for UNC. It won't always be that way, but these are weird times, Coach. What's your take on this whole recruiting situation?
Yeah, I just think in the case of Tony here, the one thing that hasn't really been discussed is with Virginia's situation, the State High School Association is still contemplating whether they're going to have football this year. And they didn't have it, then he has the ability to maybe go on and graduate and go to college. So I think that's probably something that he's looking at, reading between the lines here. And if he's doing that, then he would definitely favor North Carolina based on their squad compared to ours. But I'm not into stuff like Jake is and Trent. And I've just read that, reading some of the North Carolina logs there to try to see what, why he would be interested in North Carolina over us. But the other thing is, you know, Dre Bly played for Mac Brown at North Carolina, is a good corner, knows his father. He got a good existing relationship. So who knows what's going to happen, but you know, the longer it goes, the better shot we got, because that means that they would probably be playing football in Virginia. And I'm not one to say, quote me, that they won't, but it's certainly been ballyhooed around. So, but there's going to be a lot of back and forth here with this kid. He's definitely a lockdown corner, what you got to have, like what we've got here now. And we've set our goals really high for that position. I know we're taking some guys in the safety position and the star position. You got to get, you know, we're going to be losing Webb and Devon and guys like that fairly quickly. So we took that Williams kid. Is that what his name? What was it? The one that's Florida got him. We want Williams to be a safety, right?
They're thinking of James Williams as a safety. He's got the ability to play cornerback. I mean, it's been discussed a little bit. I know it's been kicked around, but I imagine that you're looking for a safety tandem with James Williams and David Daniel in this class.
Yeah. We've got such high standards now compared to when Kirby always has had those, but just build up a backlog of corners and safeties, and we'll continue to add to that. And hopefully we can get Tony in here too.
Well, and you make a good point, Coach, to mention Dre Bly. I think that he's somebody that's a little bit underrated, especially in the immediate here. Dre Bly from Chesapeake, Virginia, only about 30 minutes from where Tony's from in Virginia Beach. You know, we talk a lot about Cortez Hankton being able to go into New Orleans and his ability to recruit there. I think that they've just got, you know, that strong hometown connection, and it looks like that's really benefiting UNC right now. I understand it also from the position, like Coach was saying, at Georgia, it feels like you've got a backlog of corners. This is UNC really taking a step forward in their recruiting. They're going to be expecting huge things out of this recruiting class. If you want to if you probably want an easier path to playing time, I'm not saying the kid's not good enough to play here. He certainly is. But if you want the easier path to immediate playing time, I think UNC makes a lot more sense.
Didn't we just see that with a Georgia commit who's looking at Florida? He said, look, I was thinking about going to Florida because it looked like an easier path to the field.
Right.
And I have now Lavoisier Carroll.
Yes.
Giving Florida another look, basically on the idea that maybe I could see the field a little bit earlier. So, again, that's big playing time. If you read the stories at UGASports.com, 27 cents a day, you'll see a lot of comments about kids saying, I'm talking to the coaches and they're going to be thin at my position. I feel like I could come in and I get playing time as a freshman. That's very important to me.
I think it's the number one lure for kids right now. I think that the ability to play early, nobody wants to stay for 4 years. You know, that's why every commitment you hear, no matter where the kid's rated, they say for the next 3 to 4 years, you know, they want to get in, they want to make their impression, they want to get the film under their belt, and they want to get out and make their money. And I think that, you know, it's hard to debate that, I guess. It's hard to knock them for wanting to take that path.
I'd want to.
But exactly. But you know, I think you hear the family aspect and academics, but to me, it's all about playing time. And if a kid feels he's good enough to get out there, compete on the stage right away, yeah, I think it's a good opportunity for him to go somewhere where you know that you're going to be able to see the field early. At Georgia, that's a little bit more up for debate, certainly.
Well, that brings up the question, and Coach mentioned James Williams. We saw kind of any recruiting updates that are going on right now. It's like, okay, well, if Tony Grimes isn't working out, you got to like Georgia's chances with James Williams, the number 20 player in the nation, the guy who could might push for a fifth star. You never know.
Was at one point.
You know, James Williams, he releases his final two, and it's Georgia and Miami. Now, kid out of Miami, that makes sense. But also, it was American Heritage, right?
Yeah.
Georgia's had great success pulling kids out of American Heritage. Got to like Georgia's chances there. So what's the latest on James Williams, and have a better outlook for Georgia than does the Tony Grimes situation?
Yeah, I feel a lot better about Georgia standing with him. And I mentioned this, I did some insider notes on Friday, but we're a couple days away from those. So I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain on that. But it's, you know, what I'd heard over the course of the shutdown was that Clemson seemed like the team that was gaining momentum with Williams, not necessarily Miami. I hadn't heard much about the Canes. He is a former Miami commit, committed to them, I think, in 2018. So, like, as a sophomore. But it has ended up stepping back. I personally, I think this top two bodes incredibly well for Georgia. There's no denying, really, the results on the field. If you got Clemson to go up against, I think that's a much different story, obviously, given the national championship success that they've had, the ability to place players in the league. Miami's still working their way back.
But that's the thing. Miami might have that early playing time. That's why I bring him up.
That's true. But this is
something that's going to bite Georgia again.
This is not a kid. I don't think that this is a kid that's all that concerned about that because he's such a rare specimen. You know, James Williams, you're talking about 6'4", 215 pounds back there in the defensive backfield, can just run for days. Looks like an outside linebacker playing back there.
Okay, we got to ask Coach about that. Coach, you got a 6'5", 215-pound safety. How common is that?
You know, you don't see that often, but he's certainly got superior skills. And, you know, Jake mentioned, you mentioned an American heritage. I know that the kids we have here are just working him hard. You know, Stevenson and Devon Wilson, and then we've had some other guys, Baker, and I think when the kick returner from there too,
Isaiah McKenzie. Yep.
Yeah. So I think that the COVID hurt us a little bit on him because he was really close there. He came here the weekend before that spring break, and I think. From my standpoint, being around the players and listening to them and all, I feel good about him. And one thing I would mention I didn't get to finish on Tony is Tidewater, Virginia has always been big for North Carolina. When I was recruiting there, we got Amos Lawrence and Lawrence Taylor out of there, just two huge players that everybody knows about, both had great pro careers. And there's a backlog, a lot of UNC people there, the alumni and all, and we always tried to hit it hard, that in metropolitan Washington, D.C., because Virginia and Virginia Tech weren't rolling then like they were in the 90s, and now they're coming back a little bit. And I think Mac Brown's got some good ties up there, but don't count Kirby out. You know, the bottom line, there's not many head coaches that are secondary coaches, so he's got that edge, too, working this kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and see, this is why I love having Coach Don on the show. I don't – know those regional, I almost call them peculiarities, but regional tendencies and trends where you have a strong alumni base in an area. You know, we follow, like, okay, the coach is from there, you know, and so we see, like you mentioned, Cortez Hankton and
Scott Cochran's from New Orleans,
and how that helps them in New Orleans. But you forget that this area has traditionally produced a lot of players for this school, and there's a huge alumni base there. And Coach has been going through those back roads and such for longer than he wants to admit. We'll just say it that way. He's got some great recruiting stories about these little taking film with him on vacation.
I think sometimes he was riding those back roads and wasn't recruiting. You know what I'm saying?
What's in your truck, Coach? Anyway, speaking of riding back roads.
High school coach told me, I had to get to the other side of the mountain up there in North Carolina. I was up in Brevard or someplace like that, and I need to get over to Canton or Waynesville or something. And this guy gave me this way to go and wrote it out and everything. But that we didn't have the, you know, ability to use like we do now, GPS. And so I had it all written down and everything. And the last thing he said when he closed the door to my car, he said, but if it was me, the way I would go is this. I said, why didn't you tell me that in the first place?
Speaking of, if you're trying to figure out which way you want to go, let's give a big shout out to our friends at Athens Ford. They have fantastic deals going on right now. I do want to point out that if you are a student, college student, or recent college grad, you may qualify for $500 off of select new Ford vehicles. If you have a military discount, is also available. So veterans and active members for the U.S. military may also qualify for $500 off of select new Ford vehicles. Of course, all those would come with the lifetime powertrain warranty at no cost. You don't have to add on for that. You don't come up with the best deal you can get, and then they go, okay, now let us tell you about this lifetime powertrain warranty, and here's what it's going to cost you that we're going to factor into your six-month 0% APR financing. You don't have to go through all that. They're not going to throw that on you at the end. Any of their vehicles, new or pre-owned up to 80,000 miles, will come with a lifetime powertrain warranty. But when you go to the website, you're going to get a little pop-up window that's going to offer you $250 off any vehicle. Go ahead and fill that out. Then if you're a student, they got a $500 off discount. If you're a veteran or active member of the military, you too may qualify for a $500 off coupon. Point being, they have incredible 0% APR financing on all these vehicles. They have great financing in-house. If you don't want to do that, and say you want to take the $14,000 off of an F-150, you can do that instead. And then finance it at a still a really low rate because they have it in-house. But there's also all these other discounts you get. In other words, you're not going to find a place where you can get a better deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle than you will at our friends at Athens Ford. They are the number one Ford certified pre-owned dealer in Georgia. And I tell you, if you want, from a financial standpoint, I love getting a pre-owned vehicle because you don't take all that hit on the depreciation. But when you get one that's been, when they go through that certified pre-owned, the Ford system, and they check out these 100-plus items, it feels like a brand new car. And I can say that because I have one, and 2 years later, it's still immaculate because those guys did such a great job. So big shout out to them. Let's jump into some questions.
Well, I did want to touch on one thing on the Grimes thing, and I just because I thought this was an interesting. This was an interesting tidbit somebody brought to the board, and it's a tweet from his father. And it basically he says on Twitter, he says, when a head coach tells you no matter what program your son chooses, you and I are going to be friends for the rest of my life, you got to rethink things. Now,
I know that
somebody asked in the comments, was it Mac Brown? And he says that this guy says, sounds like something Coach Brown would say. Glover says, no, he didn't say that to me, but he is a great person. So I'm not saying that Kirby Smart said it, but I do think
Kirby Smart said it, because let's go back to when Demetrius Robertson, Kirby misses out on him, brings him back.
Yeah.
That kid out of Archer, offensive lineman.
E.J. Price.
E.J. Price.
What? No.
Hmm?
No.
No, I'm just saying Kirby was.
I guess.
Like, anytime you see a kid pick somewhere else, Kirby's always just been like, hey, you know, best of luck to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, how could you do this? You know, he always keeps the door open.
Yeah.
And then we see how many kids decommit midway through the recruiting process. And then how many kids have we seen recommit on signing day?
And well, and Demetrius mentioned that as something that, you know, I think in the end he said, I wanted to come back home. I wanted to be closer to home. But he said, you know, part of the motivation was that they'd always kept a positive relationship with me. Yeah. Kirby knows better than to burn those bridges, because in this day and age, you got to have those connections. You got to keep everybody warm. And the fact of the matter is, you're recruiting everybody for the next 4 years while they're in college, too.
Yeah, with the transfer portal out there, you know, now's the time. You don't you're right. You have to keep recruiting them. You got to recruit the kids that are on your squad, you know, to keep them in-house. And so far, I think I'm not even going to say that. Nope. Not gonna jinx and get yelled at. But no, that's a good point that we know that Kirby makes great relationships with the parents and with the kids, and you just never know what's going to happen down the road.
Well, and that's, you know, like I said, I think that Coach really touched on it, you know, in the perfect way. This kid, you know, if the possibility exists of maybe them not playing football in the state of Virginia this year, I think that does change things. But if you're able to go into the season with this, I mean, who do you realistically think is going to have a better season, Georgia or UNC? Who's going to look better on the field? Who's going to probably produce better in the defensive backfield? I think that they're still turning a corner under Mac Brown as a team. And so I think that Georgia is going to produce better this year. I think that that's something that will weigh in with a lot of these.
That secondary this year is going to be filthy.
One of the things that I would point out, too, in North Carolina's favor a little bit is a lot like the first year when Kirby was here, we were selling the fact that, hey, we're going to win. We're going to do that. We're going to increase our facilities. We're going to do all these things. But we really hadn't done it the first year. You know what I mean? And then the second year we did it, And for Mac Brown, the same thing's true. You know, they the first year, you know, their team was coming off. They only won two games the year before as a new staff, all that. Now he's had two separate guys. One gave him $40 million. Another gave him $20 million straight out. Just two guys, $60 million for the program. And they almost beat Clemson, won a bowl game. So what they're selling now, plus they sold out all their games, it's kind of like what we were to start things out. So when Kirby got here, so I think people say, well, why would you go to North Carolina? Hey, they got a lot of things going for them, but not as much as we do, that's for sure. But you got to look at the other side of the coin when you're going against somebody and see what they're using. And I would think what you said about what Mr. Bly said, I would think that would be something Kirby would say on maybe June 30th. I don't know that he said that already, because that means unless the guy just said, hey, we're going to commit to them. So
sure.
Well, but that would make sense, because in our update that Adam Friedman had with Tony Grimes, Tony said, you know, he's made his decision.
Yeah.
So he's made his decision. I'm sure they probably let the coaching staffs know. And, you know,
that's why you read your site.
Just saying. 27 cents a day or something, you know. All right, hit up next question.
All right, Luke Eason says, keeping on the recruiting train here, he says, feels like recruiting isn't as hot this summer with no in-person recruiting. Understatement. But he said, do you think things pick up big, or we see some possible flips when and if recruits can visit campus again? I think it's going to be explosive. Yeah. I think it's going to be insane, because kids have been off the road so long. You've got to think that those first couple of weeks back are going to feel, I mean, they're used to being treated like royalty. They've had this 4 months off or whatever it's going to end up being. And suddenly you're back in getting wined and dined and having everybody hanging all over you. I think you'll see a lot of quick commitments from that. And also in terms of flips, I do think that there'll be a lot of flips. I don't necessarily look at Georgia's commit list and see that. But I do think, you know, that Tennessee they're going to have a time on their hands to hold on to all of those kids. I just think that once they get the opportunity to go out and see some other things, yeah, you'll see a lot of movement. I think you'll see more movement this fall maybe than ever before.
Yeah.
But the big question is, to me, when are they going to let these kids visit? When are they going to let the coaches go on the road? You know, you see all these outbreaks where they're getting more people every day have it around these four hotbeds around the country. You know, I'm not saying anything, but realistically – why would you let kids come in to visit your campus with all these things? It's right now, July 31st is the first time. That's the dead period up to then, right, Jake?
Right. So August 1st will be your first chance.
So if they open it up, I can't see them saying anything, particularly when they're going to have July 13th when practice can start, you know, as far as not voluntary. And then you see these schools kicking back like Boise State and – you know, dropped out yesterday for 14 days, Kansas State. So I think for us to be talking about a realistic amount of people visiting or coaches going on the road, I think that's probably down the road even further than we even thought, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I think part of that, too, being from a PR standpoint of nobody – look, the rates are what they are. The survival rate is what it is. But nobody wants to be the one that gets tagged as, oh, well, their staff showed up and they gave him COVID.
Yeah,
you know, that's hey, look, you can't afford that. That's not a hit you can afford. Like you're going to get drugged through the national media for
like,
that.
Like in the old Soviet system, do not be the first one to stop clapping.
Yeah, right.
You know? I mean, or vice versa, right? If an assistant coach is going down to Jacksonville right now, which is a hotbed, and they bring something back to Athens that starts a breakout, that's just not something that you want to happen there. I think the best thing that can happen for recruiting to kind of be reinvigorated from all of this is for a season to happen and for people to be watching games and get excited about football and kind of feel connected to it. I think even if the visits aren't happening, I think you'll see commitments just based off if football is on TV.
I think too, Coach, you mentioned, you know, the possibility of when you'd be able to get kids in, and this is not any inside info, this is just kind of my gut, but I think that the NCAA and these staffs obviously want to get that restarted as soon as possible, but I think the compromise you could potentially see would be saying you can have two guys on campus this week. you know, it's just because it's a lot easier to manage two guys, to keep them a little bit more distance from everybody than, you know, I think those 100 player weekends, you won't see that.
I can see something where, like, okay, you can have 10, you know, you can have 15 kids on campus. Each one has to have their own handler, if you will, you know, who's going to watch out for them and stuff like that. He's going to take them on a tour.
I don't think you'll see any staying with players.
No.
The day of having massive amounts of kids come in on unofficial business to watch a game, you're just not going to see that this year. I mean, there's no way you can do it.
I agree.
Well, I think the first thing we would see is, okay, we're going to limit just to official visits,
right?
No unofficials.
Yep.
And here are the criteria that you have to have in place to host that official visitor.
Yep.
You know? And I can see it, because at the same time, I know the numbers for the cases go up, but the actual mortality has dropped precipitously. And you have a situation where this particular target group, you know, it's like, okay, you're going to be hosted by a young person who's going to take these precautions, and this kid needs to make a college decision, so therefore he needs to visit. So I think that they're going to work out some sort of situation to get these kids on campus. But to answer the question there, I definitely think you're going to see a lot of changes, you know.
And when you bring them on campus, where are you going to let them go? You're going to say, can they go downtown? I mean, we're telling the players to stay away. Everybody, all the coaches around the country, you look at what happened to LSU. Some of their players went to a club and they got infected there. I mean, it's just, I think recruiting right now is back burner as far as the NCAA to me.
I agree.
Even beyond like the restaurants or downtown or anything like that, though, I mean, you're talking the football facilities and the coaching offices. That's going to be essential personnel only from now until, I guess, it's decided that, you know, that can change a little bit. And recruits are not going to be essential personnel to run the football program as is. So what level of access are people getting to what levels, and how many people can be there? I'm like Coach, I don't see where recruiting factors into that based on the information that we have right now.
But you got kids that have to make a decision for the rest of their lives, you know, and there's money that goes along with this, you know, future of the program. You're going to have to let these kids on campus to at least look out the dorms, check out the weight room.
And if you're not,
take a campus tour.
And the thing about it is, you can start to rethink those things, but if you're going to do that, you need to start having the discussion. Okay, we got to move signing. We're going to have to bump signing day
check
up.
The words into, right out of my mind.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to, because we haven't heard anything definitive about December. I don't think it's going to happen. I really doubt it. But you need to be looking beyond February.
You could see where they have December signing day, but it's only, you only get about
a small percentage.
You only get about half the kids signed that normally do, because others are waiting to take their official visits. And I could see the February one, you move that back to March or April.
Yeah.
You go, look, you don't need to be on campus until August next year or June next year. We can move signing day back to April.
Sure.
You know, so I could definitely see that.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right. Did want to touch on Pop Tab 4599. We got a great preview over at the board, or over on UGASports.com, from Anthony Dasher. He's doing scouting the opponents, going ahead and looking forward to this fall, talking about where Georgia stacks up, who you need to be watching for against their opponents. But Pop Tab here wants to know, I mentioned that because Auburn is the team he scouted today. He says, how does the rival staff and Coach Donnan feel about playing both Bama and Auburn early in the season? Can the offense get there quickly enough?
That's tough. Coach.
You know, it is what it is as far as the Auburn game. We've rehashed that over and over about moving the game up and where Auburn doesn't have to play us, and then Alabama the next week and things like that. We're going to play Tennessee later now than we did Auburn. You know, we got Auburn at home. They've had a hard time. I think we've won like all but two in the last 13 or 14. I don't know. Dane can look it up, but maybe three they've won. But we've got a good run against Auburn, against Gus Malzahn. Kirby has at Alabama and here. I just can't believe that Gus Malzahn's going to turn the offense over to Chad Morris. I hope he does. I hope they keep on running some of that Arkansas stuff and that Southern Methodist stuff. And, you know, I know this, since he left Clemson, they're 75-5. So they've done okay without him. So I'm sure he's a good coach and all. He just has a hard time winning D1 games.
if there's ever a game that's decided in the trenches, I think it's Georgia-Auburn. And as much as people can talk about Georgia's offensive line losing two tackles to the NFL draft in the first round, Auburn lost Derrick Brown in the first round and Marlon Davidson in the second. So Auburn's got a lot to prove on their defensive front as well.
And I was looking at the synopsis that Anthony Dasher wrote at UJ Sports, scouting the opponents, and some big names back there in the Auburn linebacking core with Owen Papo and
KJ Britt.
Yeah, Britt. Yeah. Was it Truesdale?
Tyrone Truesdale. Yeah, yeah.
Guys like that on that defense. But so, yeah, I think we
covered that whole team too.
I think Dane makes a great point in that, Georgia's, the question is, will the offense be able to get it ready? You know, this ain't the same Auburn defense. This is a good Auburn defense, very talented Auburn defense, but they also have to find some answers before Georgia faces them. I think the bigger question, though, is Georgia's offense ready to go against Alabama on the road? New coordinator, new quarterback, new offensive lineman, a lot of new running back core, really.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't have DeAndre Swift that you've leaned on for years. I do want to say this. If you get a chance, go to UGAsports.com, go on the message board, and look at the video clip that Dame's put up there of Jamie Newman throwing. We had a story, Jamie Newman – Jamari Sawyer and Richard LeCount, they had a little Zoom meeting hosted by former Georgia star DJ Shockley, and they were talking about the team and how the team's practicing, and there's some really good tidbits in there. I don't think we're the only ones that ever actually covered that meeting, but Jamie Newman, they asked him, how have you fared in the offseason? He's like, I put on 6 pounds of muscle. That dude looks gigantic, and when you look at the video clips that Dane put on the board, you can see why there's Heisman talk around Jamie Newman. You can see why the Georgia fans are excited about having him here. This kid who's, you know, used the I won't say he's used the quarantine to his advantage. Physically, he has.
Yeah,
mentally, he's kept his – he said, look, I keep all my gear in the car. I'm always looking for guys to run with. And they are – he calls his offensive linemen – I mean, he calls his offensive guys, and they talk about the plays. So they have taken it upon themselves, because they can't spend as much time as they'd like to with the coaches. Remember, now they can do voluntary workouts. They've been working as much as they can on getting Georgia's plays down. So hopefully, and to answer the question there, will the offense be ready? It won't be for lack of preparation in the available time. The time's been very limited in what they could do together. But
no more so than anyone else.
True. But
I would say this, though.
Putting that right
to add to the point there, we've set the Guinness Book of Records for mental work between March and now, with so our guys can probably recite the playbook backwards and forwards because of all the Zoom meetings and all that. Like you said, he had to get with him to work the physical work, and you got to transfer that to the field. But we've had an inordinate amount of mental work, just like the pros have, and you hear all these different pro people talking about. I know Joe Judge. I read a deal where he had a relationship with Kirby and with Pruitt, and he talked to him about how you get the best out of the Zoom meetings. I know Kirby has worked hard at trying to make sure that you incorporate the individuals and not get too many people involved, but at the same time have the team involved. So I feel good about our mental preparation. Alabama will be an early test. There's no question about it. And you look at all these – individuals that are rated like the top 30 in the league, and you know Alabama's got an unbelievable amount of just individual stars, particularly on offense.
Yeah,
Leatherwood and Waddle and all those guys, along with Harris, and then defensively. But to me, Alabama's defense is the biggest question mark in the SEC right now. Their inability to stop people the last 2 years has been their weakness. That's why they haven't been in the playoffs to the extent where they're really competing for the whole championship. You know, 2 years ago, they got destroyed by Clemson. Last year, they got beat, you know, during the regular season by LSU and by Auburn, both scored in the 40s on them. So they got to make some moves on their defense to stop people, particularly throwing the football.
Be interesting to see how much of a difference a guy like Dylan Moses brings there, though, to the middle, and how that's able to factor in with him being healthy this year. And then certainly I think you're looking for a big year out of Patrick Surtain. Everybody is for the most part.
But I tell you, Coach mentioned Leatherwood. That is one of the most physically impressive and strongest kids I've seen.
Scary kid too, man. I went down and interviewed him in Pensacola. He's an intense person. Yeah.
Well, the guy beside him is 6'7", 360, and Evan Neal. So, yeah.
But still, I'd still run behind Leatherwood. Yeah. Leatherwood is just that. We talked about like Jerry Jeudy being just an absolute difference maker. You know, you could point to different guys on that. You know, Najee Harris just being a guy who's just going to change the outcome of a game. You're kind of looking to see if Surtain or Moses will do that. I'm going to tell you, Leatherwood, first, probably unanimous All-American.
I agree.
No question there. So, anyway, point being, Georgia better have a plan for that on defense. We talk about how good Georgia's defense is, but kids are going to be pretty good. And like you said, with Neal beside him, that left side of the line. reminds me of when Georgia played Notre Dame and you had the two first round guys side by side, you know, that you were looking at. It's like, well, how do you handle this? And they used it.
One more note on Auburn, too, is they have a lot of unproven at their running back position. Losing Booby Whitlow, he's not in the program anymore. Not much experience returning there for Auburn. So that game being earlier in the season, they're probably going to have to find someone pretty quick to be able to run on Georgia at all.
Break down that depth chart for me. Who they got back there?
Well, they got the kid that Georgia wanted.
I mean, they got Tank Bigsby now.
Tank. That's,
so I'm like, Tank Bigsby.
I bet he'll be lathered up for that one.
he's going to come out pissed off.
All right. I like this one because we were just talking about timing and the ability what effect that can have. Kay Leland over on the board, he says, assuming Daniels doesn't have to sit out this year, do you think he has enough time to learn the playbook and earn the backup spot behind Newman? Or do you think Dwan Mathis will be the number two quarterback this season? I think he's riding off Stetson Bennett maybe too. But obviously, he wants to know, does JT Daniels have enough time in order to get in here and learn everything? I guess, you know, later with the transfer, later, you know.
How long has he been here now? Jake, you're the one that released that he was going to be here. How long has he been here?
That's been, 3 weeks, I guess?
Yeah,
about three.
Not quite that long.
No? We're getting close. You were still on vacation.
I know, but I haven't been back that long.
I know. I can't keep up. Two to three weeks.
He's got it forward and backward. I guarantee he knows it forward and backward. In 3 weeks, I mean, people act like this is, I'm going to be very cautious and not make anybody mad. That's a good question. And realistically, it would be hard for a guy to come in here and learn that if he weren't one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the country coming out of high school. If he didn't leave high school early and start as a true freshman without the value of spring practice at USC. This guy's got the mental capacity to handle a lot of things, and that was part of the reason we took him. He's a very good tactician, and he's listening to Trent Dilfer talk. You know, he's a gym rat type guy that kind of like Jake Fromm from the standpoint of learning capacity and all that. So I feel good that he knows what's going on, and the advantage he has coming in here compared to if he came in here and we'd had spring practices. None of these other guys have had any more time on the offense than he has, except the meetings that they had. So they haven't had one bit of time out on the field. So he'll be ready for that if he's declared eligible.
Good point. And I think Monken would cater the play calling to us. Like,
I think he's prepared
to
do that for anybody this season.
And, you know, we get caught up a lot of times in the whole, can he learn the system? Can he learn that? And if anybody's supposed to know their position and know what the hell to do, it's the quarterback, you know?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
In an ideal situation, you
know?
Yeah.
Well, and we sometimes we'll say, well, this guy doesn't know the calls. This guy is having a hard time knowing exactly where to be on this play. You'd hope that the quarterback gets it.
Sure.
And I think before they extend an offer to that kid, they're going to say, like, yeah, this guy's good. Yeah, so, but again,
The hard thing to learn is the signals.
Oh, okay.
You got to learn the signals. That's the plays, they're all – most everybody got the same plays. You call them a little different, but there won't be any problem for any of those quarterbacks learning the system.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. We'll touch on that question.
Yeah, well, we do want to give a big shout-out to our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. I mentioned the other week that they're doing residential and commercial work. And, you know, when you go and look at some of the stuff they will do for the commercial side, you know, they have commercial door repairs, commercial door installations, dock equipment repair and install. So if you have a dock that you're trying to bring trucks into and stuff like that, and you need that equipment there, they can take care of it. Plus, they also will put in industrial fans, those giant fans that you see. They have the ability to put those up as well. So if you've got a warehouse, which is my first job was a warehouse job, there was not a fan in there. I did it in the summer off Beaver Ruin Road.
I bet you lost some weight.
I did. I did. I mean, when you take off your clothes and they're just sodden, you know, a industrial fan out there would be nice. Plus, we also have a lot of people who are doing gyms in their house, you know, and they're converting buildings to a home gym because they don't want to get out there. It's getting hot now. You want one of those big industrial fans, you know, they can put one in the ceiling. So check them out. Our friends at Air and Overhead Doors, off the chart ratings when it comes to customer service. They're one of the best out there. So give our friends at Air and Overhead Doors a call if you need your garage door fixed, you need a garage door installed, or if you just have an ugly butt garage door, they have a showroom where they'll show you tons of beautiful garage doors that will actually increase the value of your house because it'll be like, wow, that looks great. So your curb appeal can go through the roof. So if you've got everything that looks good, you've spent the entire quarantine fixing the yard, redoing the trees, painting your house, and you've got an ugly garage door, they will make sure you have a fantastic one that suits your style and will help you on your property value. So check out our friends at Air and Overhead Doors.
Now, Coach, I did want to touch on, you just mentioned, you know, the ability to kind of pick things up. And Racing Ram here, I thought, had a good question. He said, I keep hearing a lot, and we do talk about this every year. He says, I keep hearing a lot of the struggles when a coordinator change isn't new systems or schemes. It's players learning new terminology. He says, why doesn't the new coordinator just adopt the terminology of the team they're joining? It seems easier for me, for one person who's not on the field, to learn new terminology rather than 30 guys who are on the field together and have been working that way for years in some cases. So, you know, what is your what's your impression, Coach?
Yeah, I've seen that happen before. I know we've seen that with the Falcons because of Matt Ryan, you know, knowing the system. He had a couple of different coordinators, and they adjusted to that and call the plays the same. You know, I think you give the keys to the car to a guy. Part of the deal is Kirby probably said, hey, do you want to bring in your own system? And Munkin probably felt like he did. But I've been involved where you go in, and like at Oklahoma, I had to learn their system in a week because Troy Aikman broke his leg and we had to go back to the wishbone, which I didn't know much about. Still probably don't. But so I think he's got a good question there. But I think our players and our staff have evolved and they've learned the nuances of Coach Munkin. You know, you call a play 34 gut or you call it Ohio or you call it inside zone, whatever you call it, it's the same play. You just got a different terminology. But I think Munkin wanted to call it the way he knew it, and you can't blame him for that. If he's calling the plays, he can teach. You know, you can teach these guys what to learn. They can pick it up.
That's a good question. Yeah,
it's something we talk about every year. So it's interesting to have some insight, certainly.
But you better change the signals because
yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, when your offensive coordinator now at Texas A&M, and he's like, whoa, well, that signal means this, you
right?
Know? And
yeah.
So, and you see him change. Well,
I know when Coley came in and took over for Munkin for Chaney, you know, they kept everything the same, and which was way Kirby wanted to do it, you know, keep it in house, and didn't want, had a good team coming back, but ended up with some receivers leaving early and all that. We don't want to rehash that, but terminology is very critical in anything you do, whatever profession you're in, what you call something and how you identify it and the way you communicate it is very, very important to being successful, because once you get to play, like I used to talk to our players, knowledge of assignment and proper technique. You need to know what your assignment is and what the technique you're going to use to employ against the whatever positions against you, whether it's a defensive back, a lineman. But the only advantage the offense has is they know the snap count. The defense doesn't. Other than that, the defense knows their assignments and they know their technique. So it gets down to athleticism and execution and mental errors and big games. You see these mental errors pop up because kids try to do things without that aren't within the framework of what they've been taught.
Yeah, I remember Garrison Smith bringing that up, and when he was frustrated with the defense one year, he was just – he was livid. He bit in some of his other teammates saying, look, hoe your rope. Trust me to do my job. I don't need this linebacker coming up my butt, you know, in my gap. You know, do your responsibility. And for a lot of people that are worried about, you know, how will they have enough time to learn the terminology, I go back to what we saw with Charlton Warren last year. Charlton spent a lot of time with his secondary guys out there, and he'd call out the defensive call. He'd put it out there, and then he would pop quiz and ask each guy, where are you supposed to be, you know, and is this inside leverage, outside leverage, you know, what are you doing? And the guys were having to repeat back to him. Now, a lot of people think that, well, when they're practicing, isn't it you stretch and then you do 2 hours of running plays? No, you don't do that with those guys. You'll kill them all. So you spend a lot of time when you do your position drills, and then you go into your position, your skeleton, if you will. They're calling different plays to make sure that they have their formation, their assignments, you know. And he would bring over like the walk-ons. This is why it's important to have walk-ons. When you line the walk-ons up against your secondary or against your offensive line or defensive line, you put them in different formations to say, okay, if we call this, who do you have? Especially, and you see Kirby working with it when there's three receivers to the side and he's got his cornerback, his star, and his safety, and they have to know who has who in that situation or what sections of the field do you have. So that's half. I don't say half, but that's when the little bits of practice that we see is a lot of making sure that the terminology that they call out there is implemented correctly. And I know coaches just said the same thing, but my point is in the little bit of time we see it, we see how much they're working on it. It's important.
All 7 of the minutes were out there.
Seriously, that they're working on, sure. They're working on the terminology and assignments.
And you'd be amazed at how much they can get in 7 minutes, yeah. The way they fly around out there.
Yeah. And, well, then they do the individuals, then they run them ones versus twos, two versus ones. That's when they kick us out.
Yeah, right. When the good stuff happens. All right. Interesting question here from our guy, Tercy Ops, always giving some good questions. Longtime member of the board. So shout out to him for that.
Day one.
Roddy, I'm interested if you've heard anything on this. He said some pro teams are talking about putting their backup quarterback in quarantine separate from all the other quarterbacks in case the starter gets COVID. Any thoughts if Kirby Smart might do that?
I have not heard that. I don't see Kirby doing that.
I think it's impossible to do in a program like this.
Well, if you keep your backup quarterback away from everybody else, and he's going to be a terrible backup quarterback. I mean, right. But no, I get why you would do that, especially at the pro level. But honestly, a lot of these, you don't want these kids to get it because then they mandatory, they have to self-isolate, you know, they have to be quarantined away from the team and you can lose them. And I think we're going to see some of that popping up during the season.
Sure.
If we have one, you know, it's like, it's not going to be, oh, well, he's asymptomatic. He's fine. You can let him play. I don't see that happening.
No.
So, that's a great question. I just don't know that. I don't see Kirby doing that. I see him get him out there and maybe hopes like hell that these kids are taking care of themselves.
Well, and I think too that you talk about the difference here between the pro game and the college game, and especially bringing in a new coordinator. I mean, look, those guys are professionals. They've got things that they're focused on. You know, these kids are still going to be going to school.
Yeah.
You know, they're still going to campus. They can't. Yeah. You can't keep them quarantined from that. So they're going to be out amongst the student body population. They're going to be out here eating at Classic City Eats. So, you know, I think
they'll be fine.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that it's impossible to kind of create that kind of barrier.
That's a good point.
For guys.
Plus, they didn't have, you know, they didn't have spring. You need these quarterbacks working with Coach Munkin.
Yeah.
So
I will say that some of that may be a decision that becomes out of coaches' hands depending on size of certain rooms or whatever. And the only reason I say that is because right now at UGA, they're looking at every single room on that campus, classroom, whatever it may be, and they're determining how many people can be in this room based on the current protocols. And so if it's a smaller meeting room and you have 15 guys that would normally be in that position group, based on those protocols, they may not can be in there together. So some of those decisions might end up not being coaching decisions, but medical decisions.
That is a great point. My wife is dealing with this at Georgia Gwinnett College, where they're saying, look, you're only allowed to have in that classroom, you're allowed to have 10.
Yep.
Now that classroom normally holds 30. So she can only have 10 at a time. So does she have to teach that same class 3 times? And then how do you do it? Because then you got that classroom's reserved for other teachers. So the classes this fall are going to be interesting, to say the least.
So. Yeah, I mean, I've seen possibilities in public schools, not around here, but I've just read online one of the proposed solutions was AB days, and you bring in half the student body population that day, and then the next day is...
That's what they're doing. They're crazy. One of the ideas of Georgia Grand College is to have ABC, to split up into three different groups. So basically, you have to teach the class to the A group.
I'd set on
Monday.
My face on it.
Yeah, on Monday, you teach the B group Wednesday, the C group Friday, but then you record your Monday class for groups B and C, and you record your Wednesday class for groups A and C, and you record your Friday class for A and B, you know, and it's just and point being, shout out to the teachers for making this work, because if you're able to pull this off, we're incredibly indebted to the... We're really underpaid, and we're indebted to you.
Well, I think too, just being realistic and seeing what we're seeing now from programs returning, and you know, like you said, Kansas State shutting things down, and I know it's almost July, and some of these decisions have to be made soon. I just think there's so much that we just don't know between now and then. And
also, you keep saying the, I'm hopeful.
I am too. A lot of people say,
oh, there's 4,000 cases. Yes. If you actually go into Athens Clark County, right across the street from us, there is a testing facility. 2-3 weeks ago, when I came here to do the first show back in Classic City Eats, there were two cars being tested. Now it wraps around.
It's out into Baxter.
There's probably about 100, 150 cars out there. It's it's on the Alps Road, backed up. So a lot of people are getting tested after the numbers have been spiking. So we're seeing a lot more testing going on, but we're also seeing the mortality rate and going down, and the effectiveness of treatments going way up. So I'm hopeful.
Sure.
I really am.
Sure.
I know we talk about it and it sounds horrendous, but I think Georgia plays football.
Yeah. Hey coach, I've got a time management question for you from the YouTube chat. They're saying, this is from John Adams. So with the new system, miss spring practice, and then some of the recruiting visits being lost, when things are opened up and when kind of the football process is happening, as a head coach, how do you prioritize your time considering all of that that's different?
Well, you always got to put the team first, academics, everything like that, making sure your safety of the players, making sure that you got them in the right protocols to do what the school has set up. Recruiting's always 24/7, but you got to be careful about worrying about what you can't do, because all you can do is what you can do. So you just can't make excuses. You know, we've got virtual tours set up and things like that. So as far as the priorities, I would be, you know, your present team, making sure they're ready for the games, and then the recruiting would be a high priority, but you got to get that system in, and it's in, but we got to practice it. That's the thing. We got to go out and physically execute it, not only to see what they can do, but see how they can handle it. And for the fact that we've got basically two new coaches, Coach Luke with the line, who's been here for spring practice, but I mean, for the fall, for the camp that they had for the bowl game, but he and Coach Munkin haven't really been around these players enough to know and evaluate how they're going to react to this system and who the best players are, except what they've heard about them. So I think player evaluation is going to be critical at the first couple of weeks. I said to you, and several times on that broadcast we did the first year, we did a poor job evaluating our players. We played some guys that weren't as good as guys that ended up being stars for us the next year, just because we didn't do a good enough job evaluating them. So that's going to be critical, evaluation of the squad and how they fit in with the players, and developing who the quarterback's going to be is going to be number one.
Sure. I agree. Speaking of number one, I want to talk about number two.
Gross.
Shut up. right now, if you go out to our friends at Academia Brewing Company, they have the 2x IQ, 2x IQ. It's the newest creations. It's been on their classic beer, their IQ. This thing is a hazy double IPA with a 7.8% ABV. and a delicious rush of hop flavor.
You're going to be twice as smart for drinking this one.
Yes, I'd say we love our friends at Academia Brewing Company. That's went out there with I mentioned last week, went out there with a big group of people. Everybody got something different. It was fantastic. They have the sanitizer stuff, the alcohol, because, you know, alcoholic brewing company. Place is immaculate. They spray down everything before you go in. The servers are not, it's not the servers that have the mask on and then they hold it to their chin the entire time and they're constantly fidgeting with it. So big shout out to Academia Brewing Company for taking care of the people who are there and taking care of the people that come in. That 2X IQ, if you like a hoppy beer, you're going to love that. They also have I'm trying to remember that other beer that I like so much. I'm going to tell you, if you go into Trader Joe's, you'll find a giant stack of the IQ IPAs.
And the Shiver.
Yeah, Shiver there too. So big shout out to our friends at Trader Joe's for hosting the Academia Brewing Company out there. And it was Father's Day this past weekend. Big shout out to all the dads out there. My treat was to have someone pick up a fantastic meal at our friends at Your Pie. So I had their key lime gelato. They have a key lime gelato at Your Pie. I had that. I also had a Southern Heat, fantastic pairing there, something really warm, hot with a nice gelato to cool it off. So our friends at Your Pie, they had their peach and prosciutto. I think somebody went over there the other day, had pizza at Your Pie and did not order it.
Look like
somebody over there that's on staff who did not do that, but had a good pizza anyway. My son had the Nono's Italian sandwich. My wife had the turkey pesto sandwich. They raved about them. We had a great meal out of the park, and then we went for a long walk. It's great to spend time with the family after having a wonderful meal. So Drew and Natalie French, thank you for making great food and making my Father's Day a hit. I greatly appreciate it. And if you don't have to only eat there at Father's Day, you can go anytime and check out our friends at Your Pie, 70 plus locations. Best pizza you can get.
Roddy, I want to know what your end game is, because we had the key lime beer from Academia, and now we got the key lime gelato from Your Pie. Like, I mean, are you going to get a key lime overhead door?
You know, I'm sure they probably have some panels or key lime flavor door panels.
You're going to get the scratch and sniff on yours.
I'm just saying, you know, if you do enjoy key lime, the best dessert in the history of the known universe, then our friends at Academia can hook you up, as well as our friends at Your Pie. So big shout out to both of them.
All right. Wrapped on questions this week. Definitely be looking for some recruiting news coming soon. I think I'm feeling good about that.
You calling your shot, big dog?
I'm a little surprised.
I will do that.
Will you make that sacrifice?
I will make that sacrifice for the Georgia Bull donation. I will go on vacation just to help out.
I do think that the James Williams news probably not too far off. I think that him kind of narrowing it down to the top two kind of puts it in that position.
If you're down to two, it seems, you know, well, you might want to take a couple of visits.
Those
two. But you've been to Miami a million times.
You've been to Georgia a million times, too.
Oh, well, so okay.
He's been to Georgia at least a dozen times.
So we'll put him on commit watch, or at least announcement watch.
Sure.
So, and again, you hope it turns out better than what we expect might happen with the Tony Grimes situation.
But. I keep saying this all the time. Smile Munden, keep watching that one. I know we've been watching that one for the better part of the month.
Who might be a five-star.
That's possible. Yeah, go check that piece out.
So if you go to the front page of UJSports.com, there is a story about guys who may move up or move down in the rankings. There's some rankings questions. And, of course, they can talk about it now. That doesn't mean anything's going to change. These are situations where we're going to have to see these kids play football because there's no camps for us to evaluate them at. But their senior film will go a long way in determining how they play out there. But Smile Munden is in the conversation for possibly getting a fifth star. So it's interesting. And, you know, Georgia's in the fight there for him. They're in the fight for James Williams. So we could see some recruiting news. Well, there's always recruiting news, but we could see some announcement news.
Go over and check out that story I had on Damon Harmon yesterday. I thought that was a pretty good one. And this is a kid, I know a lot of people probably not familiar with that name because he's not a James Williams of the world, Tony Grimes.
He's a three-star kid. He's out of the state of Virginia. But I talked to Adam Friedman about him. He's our Mid-Atlantic national analyst. He said that this was a kid who was set to make a big rise in the camp circuit this year. He said, Harmon's a really good player. That's a kid you need to watch out for. And you can tell by his offer or by his top five, Oklahoma, Penn State in there, Georgia, Tennessee. I mean, he's got some of the blue bloods looking after him. So Georgia looking to be in that one heavily.
I like it. But I think that's all the time we have for this week's show. We will get back on there next Tuesday about this time. We'll have Coach Don and hopefully and Dane Young. Yeah, maybe, hopefully. I don't know. We need Dane as much as we need Coach. For Jake Roos and myself, thank you for tuning in, and we will talk to you folks next Tuesday at noon. Take care.